Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 10. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Look at verse 8 again. When you see this idea of, and they vexed and oppressed them, the word vexed and oppressed literally means to be shattered and crushed. So they were shattered and crushed, and it took them 18 years, it would seem, for them to get back to their moorings and think, Lord, where are you? God, help us. So let me read verse 8 again. It says, in that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel, 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin. So takeaway for us this morning is the wicked one can't have enough of wickedness. You know, shattered and crushing seems like that'd be good. We're going to make them, you know, squirm under our heel. But no, time goes on and they actually array themselves in battle arrayment and they're going to come in and just whoop up on them in a huge way. That's a big deal. You already had them subjugated, and that's what the devil is. He wants to subjugate us, especially if we're God's children. He can't get us back, beloved. We're God's children. Never cannot be true. Listen, mom and dad are your mom and dad. I don't care how bad the relationship breaks down, they're still your parents. And that's why the Bible says you must be what? Born again. Because if you're not born again, then you're not born at all. Because you've been born into death. And you're in that side of things where the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. You need to be born again. You guys have perhaps seen that bumper sticker or maybe a sign on a church. It says what? It says, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And that's the short of it. Isn't that true? The Bible says that whoever's name was not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. The first death is separated from God down here, ultimately going into eternity to be cast into the lake of fire for us. Second death. Now, you and I see the devil can't be satisfied with a little bit of bad. He's got to go all the way. And that's a problem because you and I are sometimes a little bit naive with regard to that. We think sometimes that, you know, God's not paying attention, the devil's got other things to do. Well, no, he has a whole network of principalities and powers, and he'd like to have you for lunch. The Bible says he walks about to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. He won't be happy with you just being dancing on the edge. He wants you all in. He wants you all down. He wants you all out because there's always the potential for you to recover. Always the potential for you to come back to the Lord, be restored. Always the potential for you to be a real problem for Him. So He just wants to take you out. He really does. So don't put any nice little shiny picture on it. Make it clear. God will spank His children. And we see it throughout the Old Testament to the point where He actually judged them into almost oblivion. But then He brought them back. Where the Assyrian invasion destroyed the northern kingdom, the Babylonians, man, they oppressed, they took and castrated all the boys that were put into the court of the king. Daniel was castrated. These kids were taken and subjugated and hated, but they determined they wouldn't defile themselves with the king's meat, and they became blessed of the Lord. I'm telling you, the devil is not satisfied with just a little bit. He's like a moth to a flame. Interesting. You'll see it in nature many times. Moth to a flame. You'll see it. Pay attention. You'll get a lot of illustrations and edification, if you will. The Bible says that when they had come to array themselves against the children of Israel, in verse 9, to fight against them, that Israel was sore distressed. Interestingly enough, the word here for distress means to be bound. Again, going back to not just servitude, but bondage. The story is told about Abraham Lincoln going by an auction block during the days of slave trading in this country. And he saw a young girl up there being sold. And he stepped up and he bid and he bought that little girl. And when she came down, because he had pity on her, he said, this girl is going to be vulnerable. He had pity on her and he bought her as a slave. And she came down and was ready to serve and go. And he looked at her and he said, you're free, go. And she says, you're telling me I don't have to go with you? You're telling me I'm free? He said, yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you, young lady. You are free to go your way. And she said, well, I'm going with you. You're going to be good to me. Now, you're going to somewhere, right? You take that 12-year-old girl and think about, where have I got to go? I'm going with the guy who's good. That's you. That's you in the marketplace of sin and on this foreign soil. Bible says in verse 9 that they were sore distressed, and in verse 10 it says, and the children of Israel, look, cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim. Now, we're going to be hitting a couple of chapters here because Jephthah's story is quite stretched out. But I want you to recognize as we go through here, I'm going to leap over a lot of stuff so we can do this. But if you want to have a takeaway from chapter 10, the takeaway is the word repentance. If you're going to be involved in this battle on earth, there are perils everywhere. And one peril you're going to right away come in contact with, right at the gate, really, because the Bible says straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Straight is the gate. A lot of people think the Broadway is good. I'll just be a church person. I'll be a good person. God will let me in. No. Straight is the gate. Few there be. Don't take anybody's word for it. Dive into the Word of God. Find out what is the straight gate and go there. Quickly. Immediately. Don't wait. Go. All right? Jesus is very clear about that way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's fine. So does the devil. How's that working out for him? It's not about believing in Jesus. It's about believing Jesus. And frankly, I don't see a lot of Christians who are believing Jesus today, where they really realize that they are fishers of men, where they really realize that they're here on a rescue mission, where they really realize that their kids are in jeopardy and that they are in jeopardy and that this world is a hostile place. Listen, this is a big deal. There are a lot of options. We're going to get to that in a minute. But the first thing you got to realize is repentance is a part of the peril. And repentance is perilous because it's going to cost you something. When you repent, it might make your marriage have a little bit of an upheaval for a little bit till you get everything figured out and all the dust settles. This is why it's important for us to honor the institution of marriage, because there's a lot of bumping going on down through life, and you're going to make mistakes, and sometimes it gets, you know, festering, and it gets really bad, and eventually you got to say, I'm sorry, and come back, and please forgive me. And there might be some what? God forbid, there might be some tears, okay? And so it's going to cost you something. And that means part of the peril of this battle is going to involve repentance. These people actually did it. For the first time in a very clear and concise fashion, they cried to the Lord. The word cried is translated elsewhere in the book of Judges as calling a gathering together. So these people gathered together, probably because this array of evil was against them. I mean, it looks like they're going to have to fight, and there's nobody doing right. They've been oppressed. They've been shattered. They've been crushed. They've been overwhelmed. And now they're coming in with, well, guns a-blazing, virtually, to wipe them out completely. And they realize we need to talk. And that's what repentance is, saying, God, you and I need to talk. And when you and God talk, you better be honest, because He already knows, so don't even worry about that. Just tell Him. Here's me, here's mine, here's what I'm doing. And that's a perilous place, because you feel like completely vulnerable. So repentance is really set forth in this chapter. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a little boy who's gone off to the side. And when it gets really bad, he actually finds himself turning into a dragon in this metaphorical picture that is painted for us. He's a dragon. And his friends don't recognize him anymore. But at one point, he's told that if he will go and die in this water, it will be the only way that he will be restored. And he struggles with that, and ultimately he is willing. And he goes and he dies in the water, and he comes out, and his skin is like a baby's flesh. And when the time comes you're ready to give it to the Lord, He'll take it, and He'll make you a new heart all over again. It's saved, but He delivers us on our journey time and again back into the path. So we see here, these people are repenting. And it's huge, because it says, we have sinned. And that's where a lot of people stop. We want to say, we've sinned. God, forgive our sins. Forgive my sins. Okay, I'm listening. Well, forgive our sins. Well, which ones? What's bothering you? What's on your heart? Tell me about it. Say it. Call it. Name it. And then we'll talk. Because if you're going to be all general about it, you're really not what? You're not serious yet. These people were serious because they saw the battle arrayed against them. These people were serious collectively. America's got that problem. You say, can America have a revival? Well, I don't think so. It can have little pockets of revival. It can have individuals with personal revival. But unless we collectively come back together and say, God, you are the God that has established this country. You are the God that can fix this country. You alone, not a man, but you alone. We see mercy drops. He's good. But we also see his wrath, his anger against this country when we see the way certain things are going. So we see these people are crying out and they're saying it. We have forsaken our gods. We have served Baalim. I'm not going to go into Baal worship, but just know this is really wickedness on steroids, just like America. It's a moral deprivation, really. It's degradation morally. These religions were wicked. That's what was the payoff. People say, well, how could they do that? How could they do that? Well, there was all kinds of immorality to engage in. There was all kinds of pleasure to find. And people said, you know, this is worth it. This is worth it. The Bible says, beware of the strange woman that brings a man to a crust of bread. You have to be careful, fellas, and you have to be careful, ladies, because you have a lot of power and influence. And you have to choose wisely with that, because you can use it to change the world for good or for bad. And so I suggest to you, as we see that that was the payoff, these people realize this is what we've done. And the Bible says, the Lord said unto them in verse 11, did I not deliver you in the past? And he goes and catalogs all the times. And he says in verse 13, yet you have forsaken me. I will deliver you no more. Wow. You know what that means? That means you're on your own, buddy. Now, I'm telling you something. God will never leave us nor forsake us, but he will pull back his protection. The Bible talks about, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the angels. You know, the Bible says the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of life. If you do not have a walk with the Lord that's intact, the devil can get in and nip. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you, but if you don't resist him, what happens? He's sticking around. Be angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil. What if you do be angry and sin? What if you decide to get angry and stay bitter? You see, my point is that when you get down to repentance, you need to get down to naming it. And when you do it, you may find that you push the envelope so far, you figure there might not be any way God will take you back. And I think we've all met people like that. They think, man, well, God could never forgive me. And they're a mess because they believe that loop. But the reality is God is all forgiving. And this is a passage you want to know. Because the Bible says, he declared, I will deliver you no more. And why do we know the repentance is real? Because he says to them, go and cry unto those other gods and let them deliver you. He says, you go cry to them and let them deliver you in verse 14. And they said again, we have sinned. Do to us whatsoever seemeth good. If you want me humiliated, if you want me distraught and sad, and you want me to go painfully into eternity, you are right to do that. We live in a generation where we think we have our rights and forget that only God is right. And what he chooses is always good and right and just, and he will do whatever he has to do to get our attention. Because why? Because he loves that much. You say, well, how could he do certain things? Well, let's start with this. He let his own son go to Calvary. He let him be flogged and die. And he was able to deliver himself. And God the Father was able to deliver him. But he let him go. Why? Because he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. So you have to start about, well, what about me? It isn't about you. There's 7 billion people on the earth right now. And probably much more than that if you go over the history of the world. There's been a lot of people come and go. You and I are just a blip on the scale. But as far as you are concerned, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What would if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will it profit him? The whole world. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God and the rescue mission that's going on here. That's the nut of the Christian life.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.